Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast, proudly presented by MAP. Before we get underway, if you could all hit subscribe on however you consume your podcasts, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is, hit subscribe. It's going to go a long way to helping us grow. If you could also like the content on our socials, give us a follow, even share this content on your own social platform, it will go a really long way to helping us grow. So thanks for listening to the podcast, and we really hope you enjoy this episode. This is an episode of the Shimano Summer Series, proudly brought to you by Shimano. This series is about giving a wider insight into the world of cycling. We talk to some riders, we talk to some staff, we talk to agents, just to give you a broader insight onto the world of professional cycling. So we hope you enjoy this series, and a big thanks to Shimano for making it happen. Today is an episode of the Shimano Summer Series, and our guest today is Andy Gerrans from the Mitchelton Scott team. Welcome, Andy.
Thanks, Campbell. Thanks for having me.
So with Mitchelton, you're an osteo, is that correct?
Yeah, yep. Osteopath on the team. And yeah, I've been full-time the past 5 years and progressively worked up into that role. I've just started sort of a secondary role within the team now as well in medical coordination. So we've got a team of five doctors and a couple of physios and myself. So I'm just kind of coordinating that team and trying to get everybody working together on the same page. So that's in conjunction with osteo and rehab stuff as well.
Can you tell us how you got into working with Mitchelton? Obviously, your brother is Simon Gerrans. A lot of listeners would know him.
Yeah.
Was he a part of helping you get into the cycling world, or did you make your own path?
Yeah, for sure. When I started at uni in 2003, Simon was he was still an amateur then, and he came home at the end of the season, and I was in Melbourne at that point, and had just finished my first year of uni, and he said, "Well, you're doing osteo. Can you help me with anything?" I said, "Well, I'm a first year uni student, probably not much, but get the hands on there and have a look." And you know, year by year, I would progressively do more with him, and eventually started doing some massage with some of the other guys that were coming back, Cookie and Jez Hunt and Matt Wilson a little bit, and obviously Simon in Melbourne. So started working with those guys, and then at one point I got asked to give them a hand for the Sun Tour in 2005. I helped out AG2R and Simon's first win in the Sun Tour. So sort of helping out in that soigneur role for a few years, and then eventually stepped into the osteo role within Cervelo in 2009.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you've been in the scene for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And starting off with just the kind of hands-on massage, and then working into the rehab stuff for the last couple of years in Mitchelton Scott. So, yeah.
So what's the medical team set up at Mitchelton now? Because cycling teams are no longer leaving any stone unturned.
Yeah.
Everything's done to the proper degree.
Yeah.
What's the setup at Mitchelton with the medical staff?
We've got five doctors. They all work sort of on and off part-time and come in and out of races. We've got three British doctors, a Spanish and an Italian doctor. And with each sort of different levels of days during the year. But each doctor has allocated a group of riders that they're sort of responsible for. So they kind of oversee the medical care when in their home environment, in their training environment. And then at the races, we have a designated race doctor who takes care of them there. But it's just a matter of making sure that each doctor is consistent right across the board. So that's why we've got the team together, to try and make sure everyone from different cultures and different experiences are all working in the same way. So. Yeah, it's a big operation, but we're trying to make improvements all the time.
What's a typical day for you at a race? We're at Tool Down Under now, racing starts tomorrow. What's a day like?
Once the race kicks off, you're kind of on autopilot. You're kind of helping out in the morning, making sure everybody's got the drinks and ice and everything ready for the hot days. Checking in on the guys in the morning to make sure they've, you know, slept well and don't have any issues on waking, because there is, you know, there might be half an hour where you can see a rider in the morning if they've woken up sore or if they've slept badly, or particularly if they've had a crash the day before. So that's a time to sort of maybe do a little tune-up before they head out to the start. You know, in a race like this, you might do some taping in the morning if they need it, they've got any niggles or injuries. And then once the race kicks off, I might be on the side of the road somewhere giving bottles, or if, you know, at a feed zone, and then straight through to the finish to see the guys there. And then from the point they cross the line, it's a matter of getting into the recovery strategies for getting them ready for the next day.
So at races, you're flat out.
Yeah, yeah, the days go pretty quick. Yeah, you're up pretty early in the morning and getting packed up. And I mean, this week for us is an easy one, because we're staying in the hotel, in the one hotel the whole week. The village is right across the road. Logistically really easy, but when you're in Europe and you know you're changing hotels every day and you know dragging the suitcases out and moving the whole operation, it's there's a lot more stress involved there.
And then when you're back in Europe, you're based in Girona.
Mm.
So do you get weekends, or are you pretty much just on the clock all the time? Boys are ringing you up for a massage or a little bit of a tweak.
No, they understand that when I'm home, they really only contact me when needed, and I can sort of suss out whether they're just looking for, you know, one of those treatments that they don't really need, and just, you know, like a few adjustments or a bit of a stretch and that sort of thing. And you know, before a race or you know in key times, that's okay. But they know that when I'm at home, there's a limit to how often I'll see them. Yeah.
So do other riders from other teams come to you and try and get your advice and things like that as well?
Yeah, and
you're just the man in Girona.
Yeah, there's some of those guys. I mean, being an English speaker, that sort of certainly helps for the guys that have just moved to Girona and don't speak Spanish and maybe a little bit uncertain about who to contact. So I've helped out guys at different times through the last few years through injuries and just giving them some advice there. But I'm essentially on full time with Mitchell and Scott, so I don't have a lot of free time out of working with the guys we have there. And there's about a dozen of our riders living or based pretty close to Girona, so that keeps me relatively busy when I'm home from races.
So who is the rider on the team that gives you the most grief? Is there someone that's always on the table, always got a little niggle?
There's a couple. Probably Durbo's a more particular rider about how his body's moving and quite sensitive to change on a daily basis. But he's also really in tune with what's going on with his body. So I don't mind working with a guy like him because he gives good feedback and he's quite responsive. And, you know, if you tell him to do something, he'll do it, you know. So he's good to work with at the same time.
He'd be a pretty good guy to have on the table as well. Just
good social chat. Yeah, have a good chat with Durbo. Yeah. No, he's good.
What's some of the weirdest kind of cycling niggles that you've seen?
Weird. George's was an interesting story.
You deal with that kind of medical thing, not so much like the...
Yeah, the structural sort of...
structural wizard, yeah. But...
No, I mean, the real common ones are sort of, you know, pelvic imbalances and muscle imbalances that can affect them through the hips and the back and go from there and, you know, go down to the knee and foot even. So it's sort of having an understanding of the biomechanics of the body, and that's the kind of the majority of my work. But, yeah, when you get more of a complex case that involves kind of some medical symptoms that are propping up, that's where you sort of have to get the team of doctors involved and, you know, maybe some outside specialists at times. So those are always, you know, obviously more complex but interesting at the same time, yeah.
So are you like a rider that at the start of the year you get your schedule so you know where you're going to be for the whole season?
Yeah, I'm actually fortunate now to be in the position where I can kind of put that program together myself.
And call the shots.
Yeah, I sort of flick myself a little bit at times and think, oh, well, I don't want to make it too easy. So I do about 130, 140 days on the road each year. And that involves a couple of training camps as well, either in Andorra or the south of Spain in February normally. So, I weigh quite a lot. It's normally, you know, maybe 2 weeks away or a week away, and then I'll have a couple of weeks at home. So that's the kind of program from January through till October, usually each year.
And then you come back to Australia for the summer. You still call this home, or has Spain sort of become the new
Spain
home?
Is now. Yeah, I'm obviously married with a little girl, so
your family lives with you in Spain.
So that makes the travel a little bit more complicated now. But it's nice to come home and see the family. We came back in December this year and caught up with a lot of friends and family, and yeah, it's a holiday, but at the same time, you know, you kind of feel like you're on a race. You're going from one place to the other and packing your bag every day, but it's nice to come back here.
And what's the goals for the future with you? You're just really enjoying working with the team now, or you want to move into another sport perhaps down the line?
Yeah, never say never. Yeah, I'm enjoying working in cycling at the moment, and Girona's a really nice environment for that. I've got a couple more years with Mitchell and Scott, so at the moment I'm happy as is, and hopefully we as a team continue in the future. But who knows what can happen down the track. There's Andorra as well, which is only a couple of hours away, and there's a lot of other athletes up there, a lot of motorbike riders and other sports people. So yeah, there's always a potential for something like that down the track. But yeah.
And footy and cricket, are you a fan of those two, maybe working that later down the track?
Yeah, well, we like the lifestyle in Spain, so football is in soccer back. Maybe, but AFL and cricket not so much. I grew up playing, you know, junior footy, Country Victoria Mansfield, but that was about as far as my football career went. Yeah.
Do you want to give us a quick insight into what your brother's doing? He's working in finance or something at the moment in London?
Yeah, moved to London a couple of months ago with his family, and started last Monday, actually, his first day at work with Goldman Sachs. So as I understand, he's on an internship program, and they've kind of throwing him around different departments for a while and working out his strengths and what he likes and where they see his career going in that company. So he's kind of commuting to work and living the corporate life in
just
London for now.
Yeah. Just a quick one before we let you go. You want to give us a bit of a tip of yours for Tool Down Under this week? Daryl, is he moving well enough to go B2B?
Yeah, he'd love to back it up again, obviously, and he's put a lot of focus over the preseason towards this race, obviously. So he's in really good condition. It's obviously a bit more of a climber's course this year. So just crossing the road today, and I saw Paul's looking as lean as I've seen him. So who knows?
And Cadell's for yourself and the rest of the team?
No, I head back to Girona after TDU. We've got a camp in a couple of weeks after that. So I'll head back over there and get a couple of weeks in the winter in Spain first.
Andy, thanks very much for joining us. Very generous with your time, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Thanks to Matt for all their support, and a big thanks to Shimano for making this series possible. We hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you on the next one.